Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the next episode of the CBC Unspoken Podcast. So if you haven't checked out our other podcasts, we've done it on multiple topics, whether that be sexual immorality or trying to find out what love is, what it means in the world. You know, we've talked about a bunch of different things so far. So we encourage you to go check those out. I'm here with Greg and Matthew, and we got a new, pretty interesting topic, in my opinion, and it's about Mardi Gras. So if you don't know, Mardi Gras happened about 2 weeks ago, and it's a annual celebration. Used to be primarily in New Orleans, but it's kind of branched out now. I know Matthew mentioned something about how his work celebrates in a little bit of a different way than what they do in New Orleans. But you know, it's become pretty widespread across the country. So I think it's good to talk about what it is, and you know, how it relates to the church and the secular world and Christians. So for those of you who don't know, Mardi Gras is an annual festival or a celebration before the beginning of a Lent. Lent is a time of fasting before Easter. So you'll see a lot of Catholics and Methodists and even some other Protestants that celebrate Lent, or they fast something 40 days before Easter. And so Mardi Gras is a French phrase that translates to Fat Tuesday. And it's called Fat Tuesday because it comes the day before Ash Wednesday, which is the first day of Lent. And since Ash Wednesday is the beginning of that fasting period before Easter, Fat Tuesday, or Mardi Gras, is used as the final day of celebration to get rid of those things that you will be fasting during Lent. That's where the word fat comes into play. So you're essentially fattening yourself up with all these things because you'll be abstaining from them in the time of fasting ahead. And this has been celebrated even since medieval times. Even in medieval times, this day was used as a day of parades, parties, festive activities, and feasting before Lent. It would also consist of using up all the rich foods such as milk, eggs, and fats. I mean, another reason it's called Fat Tuesday. And its origins were Christian in nature because it was a celebration together to fellowship one another before a seasonal time of strict devotion toward God. So Lent is, Lent is a focus or rededication toward Christ. And, you know, what you're fasting is supposed to allow you more time to spend in your relationship with God, to grow closer to God. Originally they would have this celebration before this because, you know, they're coming together, before God and celebrating before strict devotion and really getting closer to God. And though the original intent was good of Mardi Gras, we can kind of see how this has evolved over the years. into something more sinful and completely lacking the presence of God. The first Mardi Gras took place in America sometime between, it actually took place in 1703, and it was in a plot just outside of New Orleans. It still occurs every year in New Orleans, but as I mentioned earlier, it occurs other places in other cities across the United States and really across the world. But we can see, we can definitely see changes from the original processions to the current times. If you've never ever been familiar with Mardi Gras, it's pretty raunchy. I mean, it's...
Don't YouTube it.
Don't YouTube it.
Take our word.
If you YouTube it, get off of it as soon as you can, because you give Satan a little space.
That's it,
you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. But Mardi Gras has become a celebration that's full of sin. And it's pretty wild. If you've ever been to Mardi Gras, I've never been to Mardi Gras. I've been to New Orleans pre Mardi Gras. So before Mardi Gras even starts, they have parades, like preliminary parades, where they, you know, it's just a time of fun, not oriented toward God. I'll say that. But even when I went, it wasn't nearly as bad as what Mardi Gras was, but you can still kind of see how with the floats and with the outfits that the crews were wearing, that's K-R-E-W-E-S, we'll talk about that in a second, but you can see with the costumes and the outfits that they're wearing, it's pretty provocative, and it's meant to draw your eyes toward them. But it also, you know, it also pulls on our sinful drives that we have. I mean, that's why so many people attend and go every year, because it's fun to sin, right? People enjoy sin. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what goes on at Mardi Gras and how it has changed from something that was Christ-based originally and been transformed and secularized so much that it's more of a celebration of sin more than it is a celebration of God. So, like I said, they have floats, they have all kinds of stuff, and they have what is called crews. These crews are the people that walk in the parade, that help design the floats. It's spelled K-R-E-W-E-S. If you want to look it up and just see what that's about. But as Matthew was bringing up before the podcast, and I want him to read these off in a second, these crews are kind of trending toward pagan worship crews. You want to go ahead and talk about that real quick?
Yeah, there's about 20 right here. But they start off a crew de devote, crew of muses, intergalactic crew of Chewbacca's, and Endymion, mystic crews of Barkas, Babylon, crew de Tot, crew of Allah, Arminius, crew of Choctaw, Cleopatra, Orpheus, mystic crews of Nereids, Pantotrain, Pygmalion, Sparta, Knights of Momus, crew of Isis, crew of Centurions, crew of Ferret, and the Fools of Misrule. And that's 20 right there, so I know there's more. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of Greek gods and pagan influence there.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting when you see that a celebration that was originally geared toward God and Christ, you don't see that anymore. I mean, you even have crew of Allah, that's what you said, mm-hmm. you know, a Muslim crew for a supposed Christian celebration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you've listened to anything about my Muslim or my Islam versus Christianity series, you'll realize that there are similarities, but there's some crucial differences between the two. So, I mean, even the Greek gods and the, what'd you say, centurions, and it's, you can definitely see how there's not a focus on Christ at all.
I looked at a few videos today. I'd always heard of Mardi Gras and talked to, you know, people had went, never been myself. And a quick Google search and a quick YouTube search, you'll turn it off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's, and talking about the crews, the original crews, they had a very strict dress code that was, you would probably call it like Old South, or it would be more like a ballroom attire. And, you know, they still do those. And the later, I guess the modern crews are, you know, they're more provocative, they're more risque, they're more, you know, it's more about seeing, you know, it's a visual effect. But in the original, I found it interesting that the original crews that still had the strict dress codes, and they each have their own little house parties, so to speak, they're pretty much appalled at the modern day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over the dress, not over the, you know, their parties and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Ultimately, when you look at it, it reminds you of when Moses was on the mountain getting the laws from God, and the people, you know, mm-hmm. the people of Israel decided, you know, we'll worship the calf,
right.
and party, and I mean, they were partying, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage, mm-hmm. all those things. They were just, you know, and drunken and sinning. You know,
he came back down like, what are y'all
yeah.
doing?
Yeah, I was like, I'll leave y'all for 2 minutes. You know?
Right. Well, and, you know, whatever, you know, is good for God, Satan has a negative alternative.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15 says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works."
Mm-hmm.
So we can pretty much assume that whatever was meant for good for God, Satan has the negative alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
and he's altered it over the years,
right.
for sure. We also live in this society, and we didn't talk about this earlier, but we also live in a society, too, where a lot of people believe that all gods are true in some sense, right? And you can tell that with the different crews is, you know, there's so many different Greek goddesses and gods, and I mean, it had Cleopatra on there, who's not even a god, but it has all these different things, Allah, that they kind of put equal, or really put above Christ,
mm-hmm.
because Christ isn't the center of it,
right?
Yeah.
So it's sad how something that was originally oriented toward, you know, toward Christ, something that was originally Christ-based, and I'm not saying all Mardi Gras were Christ-based, right?
Yeah.
Even in the medieval times, because, I mean, you have multiple, like, people celebrating
mm-hmm.
in a whole city. Not everybody's going to be focused
right.
on Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a celebration that was originally oriented for Christ, and it's completely broke off from that and replaced Christ with all these counterfeits with, you know, these different gods. But yeah, it's, Mardi Gras is wild. I mean, we were talking about earlier, you know, just topless, you know, people walking around topless and, people throwing beads. When they take their shirt off, people throw beads and stuff like that. And how there's a lot of sex-fueled, you know, sex-fueled presentation there. I mean, you can see it in different homosexual, you know, floats and people dressing provocatively in those. And you, I mean, even not even homosexually, but, you know, people dress scantily to try to get their eyes on them, right? But anytime you have this type of celebration where it draws on lust and it draws on your fleshly desires, that's not of God, right? You know, God's not going to tempt you. You know, he'll lead you from temptation. He'll he'll provide you that escape. So this is not of God. And it's sad to see, too, some people bringing their kids to celebrate it with their kids. And how that negatively impacts a testimony if that person's a Christian, right? Because, I mean, your kid's partaking in all this and is thinking, this stuff is okay.
Right. Yeah.
This stuff is all right. But it's become, it's sadly become a celebration of sin more so than an orientation toward Christ, like it was originally supposed to be. Do y'all have anything you want to add about, like, the celebration and the parades and stuff?
I probably started 6 videos today, and it was
good.
Well, I mean, you were just trying to find something that was wholesome, something that was good.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, people had their kids, and it started out with this, you know, this little couple in their RV, and they had their, you know, their toddler in a stroller. In the daytime in the campgrounds, everything looked normal, everything looked fine, and when it got dark, it was the contrary. And I don't know how you take a child at that. You know, I don't know. Of course, I don't know how you participate in that, but not one time was God mentioned. Not one time was there ever, you know, honestly, any shame or any, you know, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. Not one time.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, I don't know. I think it's just.
Well, to this, we've got to remember that this is part of the calendar of religious events for the Catholic Church. This is not something that, you know, your everyday Baptist and, you know, some of your normal denominations around here celebrate. But it's heavily focused on the calendar of events for the Catholic Church. And so it's to a lot of people, they're obligated to go because it's part of their ritual and what they believe. And it's like, we talked about Ash Wednesday. We talked about these different events. It's just like there's certain masses that they go to that they better not miss.
Right.
In other words, faith-wise. I mean, even your, a few weeks ago, saw politicians with, you know, ash on their foreheads, and, you know, actors, you know, Mark Wahlberg's one of, you know, big into the Catholic Church. It don't matter where they are, if they're in the middle of an interview or in Congress, they'll have that on their foreheads, you know, and it's part of their practice. And so you've got those that go for, like Tyler talked about, for the party of it. And then you got those that go for the meaning of it because they believe that's where they need to be for that. And of course they take, I guess they have to take all of it in, you know, in as it is. And I'm sure that there's probably some that go They probably feel like this is not what it used to be. You know, they have that mindset where this, you know, this has changed completely.
Yeah.
But there's probably an obligation that they feel they need to go. Mm-hmm. You know, and they'll celebrate, like the old crews, mm-hmm. they'll celebrate in those sections and do that right. part. It's like you might avoid yeah. certain parts of Disney World, you know, or, you know, vice versa. But
And we've been talking about, like, the Mardi Gras and the parades and stuff in mm-hmm. New Orleans. But, I mean, even just Fat Tuesday in general, Mardi mm-hmm. Gras, you don't have to go to a parade or a festival mm-hmm. to celebrate Mardi Gras. I was listening to somebody say, you know, well, you can go get drunk yeah. because it's, you know, it's Fat yeah. Tuesday. Just go and get drunk. Right. You've got to do it because you're going to be abstaining from alcohol for right. For 40 days or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, this idea of, you know, a sinful day before a season of dedication, mm-hmm. That's not God's will for us. You know, it's not His will that we sin.
And they've been taught. Anytime. And so many have been taught that it's necessary, though. Mm-hmm. It's just part of it. And yeah. They're bound by traditions. They're bound by, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they participate in it because they don't know any other way.
Right.
You know, and that's right. and it's a sad thing because, you know, you get enslaved by tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not free. You're bound.
Right.
Just like you're bound to the law if you mm-hmm. before you know Christ. You know, I mean, you're judged by it, mm-hmm. not by grace, but by the law until you meet Christ, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, for Christians, we know. We look at scriptures. It tells us that's not the way we should live, and that's not the way we should be.
Oh, yeah.
I mentioned this scripture, Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to the fulfill the lust thereof. So, you know, I mean, it's full of that, mm-hmm. you know, it's full of the flesh. It's full of fulfilling yeah. the lust.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's that day, it's a day of free reign for all that.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you ask anybody that goes that is fine with sin to a certain point, mm-hmm. they say it's a fun time, right?
So
sin's fun.
Right.
You know, sin's fun, but there's also consequences yeah. that come with sin. Yeah. And if you're a true Christian, it shouldn't be your desire to sin.
Right.
And so that kind of takes me into what I want us to take away from Mardi Gras. We discuss kind of about what Mardi Gras is and how, you know, and how sinful the parades are and the mm-hmm. celebrations and stuff. But I want to talk about how it's kind of reflective of the church nowadays, and mainly both the church as the people and also the church as uh-huh. institutions.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I wanted to talk about is how focus on God has been removed. So we talked about this a little bit in Mardi Gras, how it originally started as something focused on Christ, but how it, over the years, it's completely mm-hmm. deteriorated to something that's completely sinful and lacking right. God. Mm-hmm. On the official Mardi Gras New Orleans website, it states, Mardi Gras is about music, parades, picnics, floats, and excitement. One big holiday in New Orleans. That's what the Mardi Gras New Orleans website says. Not one time in that sentence is anything mentioned about God, Christ, Lent, Ash Wednesday. None of that is even brought up in the description of what Mardi Gras is.
It's right? all been replaced.
Yeah, Christ has been replaced with these parties and the excitement of, you know, the parades and stuff like that. And, you know, the original parades and celebrations were to worship and acknowledge God, but we have slipped into a time where it has become all about costumes and shows and parties, and even, you know, kind of not purposefully maybe, but worshiping pagan, you know, pagan gods and, you know, even Allah in that case. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if they replace it with, like, all the Greek gods and stuff, but then you have Allah, and then you still don't have Christ. Right. That's what I don't get.
It's inclusion, man. Mm-hmm.
But one thing I wanted to bring up, too, is we can see that in the church today, mainly the institutions, where there are churches where the focus is on presentation instead of worship, mm-hmm. where there's a focus on putting on a production rather than a genuine heart for others, mm-hmm. And where there's a focus on making church fun or excitable instead of informing people about God. You know, and I'm not saying you can't have a good worship team or you can't wear stylish clothes or you can't have fun church activities. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that your first priority should be to show people who Christ is.
Exactly.
And I think many times churches today have put that on the back burner of their priorities. I know people who sing in church that don't sing to worship God, but sing to be seen. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of the Pharisees and how they were so, you know, entrenched in what others thought about them. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if that's a word. Is entrenched a word?
True enough.
It sounded good.
It is.
It
makes
sense.
It sounded good.
It fit.
Yeah. But you can see where the Pharisees were so, you know, they desired what others people thought of them. You know, they wanted to be seen as having high esteem.
That's what affirmed them. Affirmation.
Yeah. And, you know, in these modern evangelical churches, they've become that way in a way. I've been to a church where, you know, they had a Christmas, you know, a Christmas play, but a lot of that was not about Christ. I'm sure we've all seen Christmas plays like that in churches. We didn't talk about this earlier, but I also saw one time of a church where as part of their Christmas whatever, extravaganza, I don't know what you want to call it, they had some of the men in the church who were shirtless with like Santa hats on and stuff like that, and I'm like, where is Christ getting shown in any of this, right? I mean, I don't think men are nice to look at anyway, you know. But you know, what if there's a lady in the audience that, you know, struggles with the lust of looking at somebody else.
They were dancing too.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
One.
Have you seen
it? Yeah, they were dancing in a way that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And they're like on the stage of a church. Mm-hmm. And you're like, now don't get me wrong. I enjoy, you know, like I like having humor in like a Christmas play. And I enjoy, having funny stuff happen in a Christmas play. That's fine.
That's different.
But as far as drawing people's eyes on you in a way that's not comely of Christ.
Well, it takes away from Christ. It
Gives
you completely away from the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we were talking earlier before the podcast started, was a local church that had Easter bunnies on the stage with the pastor for Easter Sunday. You know, it's taking God out of it.
Yeah.
And you're replacing it with modern things, and
just like Mardi Gras.
Right.
Just like Mardi Gras.
And it's taking the focus off of God and onto something else.
Yeah.
And just like with everything else, I mean, Satan is trying to draw your attention because he can't do away with God.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if you have a little God, but still the rest is the world, it's all he wants.
Right.
I mean, because many people miss heaven mm-hmm. with just this much God.
Sure.
Just a, if he can get you just off by a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, it ends up being a lot at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's the sad part, is the pleasure side of it all. Like you were talking about worship. There's something about worshiping God that just heals your soul. You just feel it. You know it. But the problem is that so many get addicted to a feeling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you start preaching about eternity and that there's heaven, but there's also hell. Mm-hmm. And the good feeling's gone. Right. Then comes conviction. And right. So many run from conviction when the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to see the truth. And you don't feel good after that. Mm-hmm. You feel like, well, I need something I don't have.
Right.
And so many want to run from that, but they want to feel good. Mm-hmm. And so there's a market for good feelings, but when it comes to the truth, and when it hurts and it cuts, we run from that right. as a people.
Right. You know? I mean, people enjoy having their ears tickled yeah. to some point because oh, yeah. you don't feel bad about yourself. Right. I mean, in Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9, it says, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
Yeah.
So that makes me think of, you know, those people that are teaching what men want to hear,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're putting on a show as if they're worshiping God. Yeah. I mean, we've seen churches, I mean, even in our own area, that kind of have that mentality of let's get as many people in here,
yeah.
but then, you know, wanting your production to be a lot more than spreading the word,
yeah.
right? Now, it's good to get people into church. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to get people into church. But when you get people into church, don't worry about the production. Let God yeah. work through that. You yeah. know, don't let your main priority be, what do these people think about our church? It should be, what do these people think about God?
Exactly.
And in John 4, verse 24, it says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So, you know, we need to serve and worship God in truth and not to be seen of other people. We were talking earlier about, you know, fasting. Ash Wednesday mm-hmm. Is the beginning of Lent and the beginning of the 40-day of fasting. And, you know, the Bible teaches us, when you fast, don't do it to be seen right. of others.
Right.
Do it in private, you know, do it in private and God will reward you in public. Mm-hmm. There is there's sadly a lot of churches and even Christians who put on a show and mm-hmm. put on this Christian costume and act like they're a Christian. But in their heart, they're not where they need to be. They don't actually worship God. So we need to worship and be true in our praise toward him and our service toward him. And like I said, that reflects a lot of churches yeah. today, because they've lost that focus of Christ and replaced yeah. it with this candy kind yeah. of, you know, candy kind of food, yeah. you know, instead of sharing the bread of life, they're giving candy.
Well, even in the Old Testament, God was angry with the priest mm-hmm. and was angry with the leaders of the church because they were doing all the rituals, but there was no meaning behind it.
Right.
They were doing the sacrifices. They were doing those things that God originally told them to do. You know, to, you know, roll back the sins of the church, you know, or the people, but there was no meaning to it. because their hearts weren't even there.
Right.
They were going about the everyday routine, but God wouldn't accept the sacrifice because there was nothing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's really just a mirror image of that now, is that there's a whole lot of churches that just go through the motions, but there's nothing behind it. And you can draw in as many people as you want, but, you know, if there's nothing being, you know, nothing happening to those people, and God not rescuing them,
right,
because the meaning's not there, you know, they're not there for that. And so it's really just a cycle, you know, that before Christ came, that's the shape of the church was in, and now you see it now. That, I mean, the Lord is standing outside knocking, mm-hmm. trying to get back in,
mm-hmm.
and service is going on inside.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it really about?
Right.
You know, and it is more about just feeling good, you know, getting together, having your cup of coffee and a donut.
Social club,
and,
right.
You know, I mean,
I was talking to somebody here recently, and they asked me if I was still going to church here. I said, yeah. I said, y'all going to church anywhere? And she goes, every so often, she said, my daughter goes to so-and-so church. And she said, I really hope she's going for the right reasons. I hope, because she's like mid-teens, kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure a bunch of her friends are going there. And she brought up to me that she hopes that she's going for to learn more about Christ, not going because her friends are going. And, you know, it's good to have friends in church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's good to invite your friends to church. But don't invite your friends to church just to hang out with your friends. Your
right.
focus should be on worshiping and serving Christ and growing in a relationship with Him. Now, if that's what it takes for somebody to get in church, that's a good thing,
sure.
right? But if you're already a Christian and you already know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to be a hindrance to somebody else coming
right.
to Christ by making it a social hour, by making it just a social club. You know, we're supposed to show God, you know, in less of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mm-hmm. mean, in life in general, but, you know, really in the church too. I'm going to read Matthew 6, verses 1 through 8. It's a little lengthy, but this is where it talks about, you know, not doing things to be seen of others. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And, you know, that's kind of convicting to me too, because I mean, you know, being involved with church and
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know, when you get asked to pray, right? A lot of times you go to similar stuff you've heard other people say or stuff you've repeated. You just sometimes, and this might just be me, but sometimes when I've been asked to pray about something, I mean, it seems like a repeated thing that I've said multiple times instead of just speaking freely toward God. And so, you know, I'm not doing it. I'm not necessarily doing it because I want to sound eloquent or anything. More so, either I'm not prepared, you know, or I'm not, you know, focused on God in that moment, right? And so, you know, you have a tendency to go back to say certain things that just pop into your head during this time, you know, time of prayer.
But when you're asked to pray publicly, God knows your heart.
Yeah,
God knows whether you are trying to be...
to sound good.
Right. You know, right. And it's... most of the time, it's pretty easy to tell, you know, if somebody is praying from their heart or if they're using big words trying to impress somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I stammer and stutter.
Gosh, I felt like Pastor Mike the other night. He was throwing out big words out there. I'm like, it's going right over my head.
That's because he's smarter than we are.
Right. But, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah, I mean, it's an awkward thing when you think about it, when you're talking to God in front of everybody, that's a private thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's intended to be the same when you pray in public.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, the context of these Pharisees was, you know, like the Pharisee and the publican, where the Pharisee says, God, you know that I do so much for you.
Right.
And it's not about him, but it's about what they were running down their list of awesomeness.
Right.
And when the publican prayed, he said, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest with God, because we know God knows everything.
Right.
You know, and so when you get to that place where you're crying out to God, those that are true are humbled by the fact, you know, they're humbled by the fact they're talking to God and everybody's listening,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you won't really hear anybody go into detail while they're praying to God out loud necessarily. Right. But, yeah, it's an awkward thing. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. But when I was, you know, thinking about this and people doing stuff for attention and not for the right reasons, it made me think of like TikTok givers. I don't know if you've ever seen. I don't have TikTok. Never have had TikTok. I just didn't know what other name to name this. But there's been a recent trend in like social media where influencers give and help needy people for views instead of giving, you know. Instead of giving out of a pure heart and out of love for the person, they do it for views so they can be seen as good people.
Yeah, they record it all.
Yeah, they record it all.
So they're giving for self-gain.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
They might act like they don't have anything. Like, for example, one guy would say, you think you got a dollar? I really need a dollar for this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody will give him all they have, and he'll turn around and say, well, since you did that for me, I want to give you this, and they'll give him $10,000 or whatever, probably less, but either way, but they do it all on video, you know, and it's like, you know, you pull at somebody's heartstrings by the situation, but then you're like, yeah, but did that guy have to do it on camera?
Yeah, and it's, you know? And it's hard, too, because you're like, yeah, you want to see people doing stuff, but I feel like many times they do it to be seen of others. Oh, yeah. That
they get
good.
Views, they get benefits.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah,
now and then again, some take the money that they get from
and give
those
more.
Views.
Yeah,
and they do that.
Yeah,
and
I have seen that.
You got to discern that.
Right, right.
You're right.
And I put it here in my notes is, you know, God knows the sincerity. Of the heart, and he knows that if you are one of his, or if you're cosplaying as a Christian. Mm. You know, Jesus even says that when he comes to judge the world, he'll separate the goats and the sheep. He knows who is true toward him. He knows who is truly serving him. And so in Matthew 25, verse 32 and 33, it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left." And I feel like, I feel like that sometimes the church can be like those influencers where they're not sincere in what they're doing. And I'm not saying all churches are like right. that. Now, there's a good amount of churches that aren't. But a lot of them are. I mean, I've brought this up on multiple podcasts before. Me and my father-in-law were talking, and he told me, seems like there's more churches than there are businesses. And I told him, I was like, that's because a lot of churches are run like businesses. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's because their focus is not on Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, you see people splitting up all the time, you know, and I don't like what you said here, so I'm gonna go start my own church.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who get so caught up in themselves and, you know, what others see in them that they branch off and they, create division within the church. But it all comes from a lack of sincerity to God.
Right.
It seems today that it's all about the cool church events and the great worship band or choir instead about learning about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Again, not to say you can't have fun church events, but it should be about growing a closer relationship with God. And that has fell to the back burner and has not been a priority of churches. Similar to the way Christ has been abandoned with Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
That was one point I wanted to talk about how the focus is not on God. It has become more of a show, and a replacement for God. Do y'all have anything you want to add about that before I get to the next point?
It all boils down to simply, where's Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And where do we have him? In the church or in the country or in events and ceremonies? Where's the Lord at? And if he's not where he's supposed to be, then none of it falls into place.
Right.
And that's really where the church in a lot of instances has gotten, is, like I said, just a degree off from straight ahead, and you miss everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the tragedy of it all.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we can work and work and work,
right.
But if we're, you know, if our eyes aren't right and focused forward, then we're wasting our energy.
Right. It makes me think too, I mean, where the Bible tells us, you know, you can't serve God and mammon.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the focus on Christ diminishes,
mm-hmm.
the other
yeah.
is uplifted. It's sad to see a lot of Christians and a lot of churches losing their focus on God and replacing those with sinful things. And that leads into my next point, how there's this, idea that it's okay to sin, even if it's for a day. And so we'll continue that on the next podcast. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul.
nobody but Jesus.